Is there a cap on medical malpractice claims in Maryland? Yes, there is a cap or limit on the amount of money a plaintiff can recover for non-economic damages in a medical malpractice case in Maryland. The amount applies to the non-economic or pain and suffering damages of the case only. In addition to non-economic damages, plaintiffs may also claim economic damages. They may include past and future medical expenses, lost wages, and lost household services. There is no cap or limit on the amount of economic damages a plaintiff may claim. However, economic damages must be supported by evidence presented at trial and are often disputed by the defense. The amount of the cap depends on when the cause of action arose, typically when the treatment complained of occurred. Under Maryland law, the cap on non-economic damages and personal injury actions involving medical negligence is $680,000 for causes of action arising between January 1, 2010 and December 31, 2010. The law provides an escalation clause that automatically increases the amount of non-economic damages by $15,000 each year. For example, for causes of action arising between January 1, 2011 and December 31, 2011, the cap will be $695,000. The cap applies per medical incident and not per defendant. Therefore, in any one personal injury action, a plaintiff may not receive non-economic damages greater than the cap amount. This is true even if the plaintiff has filed suit against more than one healthcare provider. In the event of a wrongful death action, the cap limit operates differently. In the case of the death of the patient, there may be two types of claims. A personal injury claim, which is typically filed by the personal representative of the patient's estate, and a wrongful death claim, which is typically filed by survivors related by blood or marriage. The personal injury cap on non-economic damages, which applies to the patient from the time of injury to the date of death, is capped, as previously described. However, the survivors also have a separate claim for non-economic damages for their emotional injury, also known as loss of solatium. If there are no survivors making a claim, only the personal injury cap of $680,000 applies. In wrongful death cases, the total cap on all non-economic damages, those available to decedent and to the decedent's survivors, is limited by Maryland law to no more than 125% of the personal injury cap. For example, if a patient dies from treatment rendered in January of 2010, the cap on non-economic damages for both the patient's pain and suffering claim and the loss of solatium claim of the survivors is limited to $850,000 in total. This number is calculated by multiplying the non-economic damage cap as of January 2010 of $680,000 by 125%. Similar to the personal injury cap, the cap in wrongful death cases, in the aggregate to all claims for personal injury and wrongful death arising from the same medical injury, regardless of the number of claims, claimants, plaintiffs, beneficiaries, or defendants. Keep in mind that the cap on wrongful death applies only to the non-economic or pain and suffering element of the claim. The estate and the survivors, if any, may make a claim for medical expenses incurred up to the date of death, and for lost household services and wages, and other economic damages that have been lost as a result of the death. As stated earlier, these economic damages are not capped. Challenges to the cap. There have been two recent court challenges to the caps on non-economic damages in personal injury cases. Maryland has two separate cap statutes. The first applies only to actions against healthcare providers involving allegations of medical negligence. The second cap applies to all other types of personal injury actions, such as injuries from an automobile collision or from a slip and fall accident. In January 2010, the Court of Appeals of Maryland upheld the cap on non-economic damages in medical malpractice actions. In the case of Lockshin v. Semsker, the jury awarded non-economic damages to the plaintiff in excess of the cap. As is required by law, the trial judge did not reduce the amount of the non-economic damage award to the amount of the cap. Instead, the trial judge ruled that the cap only applies to cases that have first gone through the arbitration process at the Healthcare Alternative Dispute Resolution Office. Since the case did not go through arbitration, the trial judge found that the cap did not apply to the jury's award. The defendants appealed the judge's decision, and the Court of Appeals of Maryland ruled that the cap did indeed apply to all healthcare malpractice claims, including those for which arbitration has been waived. If you're interested in learning more about the Semsker case, please visit the Medical Mutual website and review the July 2009 edition of our Notes from the Chair newsletter. Another opinion on the cap was recently handed down by the Court of Appeals of Maryland in the case of DRD Pool Services versus Freed. On September 24, 2010, the court upheld the constitutionality of the cap on cases other than medical malpractice. The Freed case involved the accidental drowning of a 5-year-old boy in a community pool. With respect to the cap, the boy's parents argued that the cap on non-economic damages is unconstitutional and that limiting the amount of recovery in a tort action violates the plaintiff's rights under the Maryland Constitution. The Court of Appeals of Maryland disagreed and held that the cap statute is a rational measure imposed by the state legislature to address the uncertainty in insurance premiums that occurs from non-economic awards with no limits. The court stated further that the cap continues to serve a legitimate government purpose. Although Freed challenged the cap that applies in general personal injury actions, legal experts believe that a loss of the cap in Freed would have opened the door for a similar constitutional challenge of the cap in malpractice actions. If you want to review an article on this case, please visit the Medical Mutual website and review the October 2010 edition of our Notes from the Chair newsletter.